Turn, if you would, please, to the book of John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14. I'd like to read verse 6 through verse 9, which will be our text today. John 14, 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? For whatever reason in this life, some people don't know their Father. Some don't care to know because they have become estranged from them. Yet others have a healthy relationship. And still others enjoy a good relationship and endeavor to increase that relationship. I was blessed to have a father who stuck around, at least until my parents were divorced when I was 14, but then he was still available. I was blessed to have a dad who took care of his family and treated his children properly. There was no abuse of any kind. I was blessed to have a pop who took interest in my life. And I was truly blessed when God saved him at the age of 45. I knew my father, and I'm very glad of that opportunity. Now, my dad died back in 1998, and I miss him. And I wonder today, have you been as blessed as I have? Did you have a father who was there for you? Were you privileged with a father, a son or father-daughter relationship? If not, I'm sad that you missed out on that. And so many do in our life. But of course, we're not here to talk about those relationships in that regard, but more so from a spiritual perspective, I have to ask, do you have a relationship with God? And that really is going to be my focus today on this Father's Day. So the title of the message I offer unto you today is, Do You Know the Father? Do you know the Father? And I pray that you do. If not, perhaps today will be the day you come to know Him. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank You for the privilege of being in Your house. Thank You for these that are here. And Lord, our heart goes out to those who would love to be here and cannot due to sickness or providential hindrance. We ask that You bless them. And Lord, meet those needs. And You've heard our prayers. And so many people have issues and problems. And there's unspoken requests. And oh, God, we just ask that You would be pleased to bless in each of these as well. Help us to look to You and to cast our care upon You because You care for us. Yet we come together today to worship You in spirit and in truth. We thank You for these that are here and don't believe that anybody's here by accident. And so we ask that You just bless Your word as it goes out today, that You'd speak to every heart. We pray especially for the lost, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ. And today would be the day that they would repent and believe on Him and be saved and to come to know You as their Heavenly Father. And so help us as we speak these things and just guide our hearts and move by Your Spirit. We love You today, and we thank You for this time. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. I've asked this question today, do you know the Father? And so the first thing I would like to bring to your attention is, I want to talk for a moment how the Scripture talks of and speaks of God being the Heavenly Father. Now, Paul in his epistles gives an introductory blessings. If you should read Paul's epistles, you'll see that he says these things over and over 13 times. In those epistles, Paul says, well, here, let me give you a couple examples. To all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, here it is, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To Titus, he says, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And so the Scriptures present God in heaven as being the Father in heaven, a heavenly Father. And so you'll find that if you look up the Scriptures, six times that phrase is used. I'll give you two examples. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And so we know that God in heaven is considered to be a heavenly Father. He is also called the Father which is in heaven. 17 times you'll find that phrase in the Scripture. Let me just give you a few examples. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18, 19. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. One more verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He says, and after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I submit unto you that God in heaven is indeed a Father in heaven. He is the Father which resides there. And so, what we recognize is the personage with the character of a Father abides in heaven. And the question today is do you know Him? God is the Father in heaven. Do you know Him? And so let me then pass on secondly to the message, and that is the person of the Father. What about this Father that we have described in the Scriptures? Go back to John chapter 4, just a few pages back from our text. John chapter 4. And I would remind you that the Father in heaven then, as we read in John chapter 4, verse 23 and verse 24, as Jesus has a discussion with the woman at the well, we find that God is a spirit, so the Father in heaven is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 23 says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the Heavenly Father is a spirit and desires to be worshipped in the Spirit. There are so many things we could think about in the character and attributes of God Himself, but I would remind you that God is an omnipotent God. He has all power. God is an omniscient God. He has all knowledge. God is holy. God is just. God is good. That's the kind of Father that we have in heaven. I would also remind you of a passage where Jesus is offering up a prayer to His Heavenly Father. And then over in Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 25, this is what it says. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, here it is, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Who is the true God? He is the Lord of heaven and earth. But the Scriptures also describe the personage of God in several ways, and I'd just like to list these for you. And we'll be coming back to our text. As a matter of fact, go back to John chapter 14, and momentarily we'll spend the rest of our time there. But God the Father hears our prayers, does He not? Matthew 6:6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God also knows our every need. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Be ye not therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Does the Father know? He does. God, our Father will forgive sin. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Does the Father forgive? He will. He sees our service unto Him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 18. That thou appear not unto man the fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So God hears our prayers in secret. He sees our service in secret. He also desires to give entrance unto the believers into the kingdom. Listen to Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What a blessing that is to recognize that. But then finally, I submit unto you, when we think of the person of the Father, that those who are saved has an intimate relationship with the Father. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And that's a term of endearment. I mentioned unto you that I've been privileged in my life to have an intimate relationship with my dad. I was fortunate in that way. Many people have not had that opportunity. But I'll tell you, if you've missed that opportunity in this life, it ought to give you an indication of what you don't want to miss that with the Heavenly Father. You want to have an intimate relationship with God in heaven. And so we see the Scriptures are very clear about who God is, that He is called the Father in heaven, and He resides in heaven, and we've seen so many things about who He is. But the concern that we have with this message, and I've asked, do you know the Father? And so that my third point of the message is simply this, and we'll spend our time here, knowing the Father. Now, in order to discuss this subject of knowing the Father, I thought it was important to bring up a doctrinal issue that had come in the latter part of the middle part of that last century. But it was called the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. And so just bear with me for just a moment. I think you'll understand why I bring this in. And this subject. And what I've chosen to do in order to define this subject, so I'm just going to give you a brief quote from Dr. Henry Morris, who writes in regard to the brotherhood, fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of men, and he says this, and I quote, so listen carefully. "The fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man was a religious cliché promoted for many years, especially by religious liberals in the period between the two world wars. However, continuing hostilities between and inside most nations now make the idea of a universal brotherhood in the present world almost farcical. The fact is, however, that God truly is the Father of all men, now listen, in the sense that He created them all." Well, that's true. "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us?" That was the rhetorical question posed to the Israel in the last book of the Old Testament. That's Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. Do we not have one God who created us? And so he goes on to say, "In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul confirmed the same great truth unto the pagan Gentiles, where God hath made of one blood all nation of men to dwell upon the face of the earth." And he says, "We are the offspring of God." So there is a sense that all men as created beings are children of God in that regard, and God is their Father. But stick with me. Dr. Morris continues to speak of the sinfulness of men and that salvation must come to the lost, and this is essential. And he writes, and I quote, "We can only become spiritual children of the Heavenly Father by being born again through faith in Christ. But we then truly become the sons of God as assured to all those who believe on His name." In other words, just because you are His creature doesn't mean that you are His spiritual child. The Bible teaches a doctrine called the doctrine of adoption. And those of us who have been saved have been adopted into the family of God. And we become sons of God by adoption. So you cannot say, "Well, God's my Father. I'm of His offspring." Well, in that sense, that's true. But you still do not have a spiritual relationship with Him. You need to be saved. You need Jesus Christ, and that's where I come from on these things. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. He goes on to say, and I'll give you one last statement from Dr. Morris, and I chose to use this since it is Father's Day today. He says, "May God help those of us who are or will someday become fathers on earth to truly be the children of our Father in heaven and thereby be genuine models of the Heavenly Father to our human children here on earth." End of quote. Ah, what a grand desire that is. And so have a clear understanding of this, my friend. There is a sense in which all men have a Heavenly Father due to the creation. However, not many have an intimate knowledge with the Heavenly Father. Jesus said that few enter into the narrow gate and find eternal life. Only those who have been adopted into the family of God and are saved can claim God as a Heavenly Father. So when I posit the question at the beginning, do you know the Father? It is in this vein of which I speak. Have you been born again? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? And it is of absolute importance that you understand the distinction. Chapter 14, Book of John. Do you know the Father? I would like to consider some textual items that we find in this passage. It's verse 14, chapter 14, verse 6 through verse 9. Let's look at the text once again. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? So when we talk today about the matter of knowing the Father, I think it's essential to glean what we find within our passage. First of all, we see that word know or known within our text. We saw there in verse 7 where he says, Have you not known me? Now that word known in the passage is a Greek word. It's the gnosko. It's a very common term in the New Testament. And the word means to know. It is to discern. It is to understand or comprehend. And so he tells Philip, If you had known me, then you should have known my Father also. You see those terms, known, they're the same, come from that same word, gnosko, later on in verse 9 where he says, Hast thou not known me? Same word. And so it's the same idea all the way through. It's not changing anything. But when you look back into verse 6, my question is, do you know the Father? Do you understand? Do you comprehend? Do you have a knowledge of Him? Can you discern who He is? We look into verse 6. And notice these things as they just come out from the Scripture. In verse 6, He says, Jesus said unto Him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by Me. Now what we have is a simple declaration, do we not? A statement in regard to the Father. The Father exists. There is a God in heaven. We've already demonstrated to you from the Scriptures. He is our Heavenly Father. He resides there. And we talked a little bit about His character and His attributes. Now, Jesus in His response here just talks about the Father. Do you even understand that there is a Father in heaven? I pray that you do, because if you don't understand that, you're never going to seek Him. But I do pray that you know that there's a Father in heaven, of which you need to become aware of. Secondly, you look in verse 6 and you find here that the opportunity is there to enter into the presence of the Father. How do I know that? Because he says, No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he discusses the possibility of coming unto him. Now, I've been saved by the grace of God. Back in 1974, God came to me, convicted me of my sin, gave me eternal life, and he saved me. I'm a child of the King, and one of these days I'm going to walk into the presence of the Father. And the only way I can come into the presence of the Father, well, we have that listed in the text, but the good thing is I can come. I'll tell you, dear sinner friend, you ought to recognize the fact that you're lost, you're undone, you're away from God. But boy, the privilege, the opportunity, that as a sinner gone away from God, who hated God, despised the things of God, you have an opportunity to come into His presence. That's a tremendous blessing. God could have easily said, you know what, you sin against me, there's no hope for you. And we could all be in hell forever. I'm glad for God's grace and for God's mercy. And he talks about cometh here. And so there's the existence of the Father, but the privilege is that we can one day enter into the presence of that Father. That's what I glean from this passage. And well, what we also find very clearly in verse 6 is that Jesus is our only access to the Father. I don't know how many ways you can make this so clear, so plain. To me, this is it. And yet, so many people miss the boat. Verse 14, he says in verse 6, Jesus speaking, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, I'm the one. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means you cannot get to heaven any other way. You say, well, I can do it on my own. No, you can't. It doesn't say that you can come. No man can come to the Father except for me and you doing it on your own. It doesn't say that. The only access that we have is through Jesus Christ. There are many people today that believe they can get to heaven by joining a church. It doesn't say anything about joining a church here to get to heaven. It doesn't say anything about baptism, about getting to heaven. What's the way to access the Father? The way to access the Father is through Jesus Christ, and that's the only way. And so I think it's absolutely essential that you understand that, because you might claim yourself to be a child of the King, and you have a Heavenly Father because you're of the created order. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have a relationship with the Father. We're going to see that in just a moment as we go through this passage. That means, as we described, well, you might want to say the fatherhood of God, but the fact is you still have to have a spiritual relationship with Christ and with the Father before you can ever enter into His presence. Absolutely essential. So Jesus is our only access to the Father. A related verse to this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, where it says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." That's it. There's no other prophet, there's no other priest, there's no other God or goddess. If you will ever stand, if you will ever stand before the presence of the Father in heaven, it will be only through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. So reject Him if you wish, deny Him if you decide to, but you will never enter into the presence of the Father. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." Glean down then into verse 7. You'll notice that it is possible to know the Father, and that's good news. We made a comment that we can come into the presence of the Father. It's good to know. How I can know God? Some people say it's impossible. You can't know anything about God, but you can. Now in verse 7 he says, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." You recognize that? It is possible to come before the Father, and we come before the Father through Jesus Christ. But that means that I can know my Heavenly Father. As I began the message, some people in this life do not know their Father. Sometimes their father dies before they're born, or sometimes in their early life the father dies and they never know their dad. It's possible. It happens all the time. Sometimes dads skip. They're gone and the child never knows. Sometimes children are given up for adoption and they don't know their biological parents. And sometimes you'll see where they're searching for these parents. They want to get some background. They want to know them. I want you to know, dear sinner friend, that you're dead in trespasses and sins, and you do not know the Heavenly Father. But you can know. That's the good news. That's the grand news we find in the Scripture. We can know the Father. And he says, "Philip, you know me, you should have known him." As a matter of fact, everyone who knows Christ knows the Father. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13 says this, "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one." And he says, "I write unto you, little children." Here, listen to this. And this is a general statement toward Christians. He says, "Because you've known the Father." You say, "Well, have you ever seen the Father?" No, I've never seen the Father. But I know the Father. You know why? Because I know Jesus Christ. I've never seen Jesus Christ, but I believe him by faith. He lives in my heart by faith. So if I know Jesus, I know the Father. I'm so glad that the God of this universe can be known by sinful man. And I'm one who knows him. And if you're saved, you're one who knows him. If you're not saved, then you do not yet know him. That's the question of the passage today. And my message, do you know the Father? Do you know the Father? And so we make it very clear as we look into verse 7 once again that to know Jesus is to know the Father. If you've known me, you know my Father also. If you've seen me, you've seen him. That's the intent. That's the lying concept behind that principle there, the foundation. In verse 9, the last part of the verse, "He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father?" To know Jesus is to know the Father. Personally, I don't think we'll ever lay our eyes upon the Heavenly Father. I think we'll always see Jesus Christ. And that's the way God has ordained it. And that's just the way it is. Listen, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The only way we'll ever know anything about God the Father in heaven, is through Jesus Christ. And only as Jesus reveals the Father unto us can we have a knowledge of who the Father is. And we've already seen demonstrated in our passage that our only access to the Father is through Jesus Christ. So you sit there today and you say, I don't know the Father. Not in the spiritual capacity of which you're talking about. Then the only possibility for you to know Him is how? Through Jesus Christ. And by knowing Jesus Christ, no other way will do. That's what the Bible teaches us. But we find that we can know the Father. As a matter of fact, the believers are said to know the Father through Jesus Christ. As we demonstrated in verse 9, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Is that clear enough for you? Oh, I pray that it is. It needs to be known. It needs to be understood. Therefore, I submit unto you two things. Number one, to know the Father, we must have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. I think that's clear from the passage. We could stop right there and say that's enough. If I'm ever going to know the Father, I have to go through Jesus Christ. That's it. And if I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I do not have a relationship with the Father. I've told you before that I have an acquaintance of mine that says they believe in God. They're absolutely convinced in the existence of God, but they do not believe in Jesus Christ. And what that tells me is that person cannot be a Christian because he rejects Jesus Christ. If I'm going to know the Father, I can only know the Father through Jesus Christ. And do you have that relationship with the Father? If you do, it's only through Christ. It doesn't come any other way. So we have to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have that relationship? Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior today? John chapter 8, verse 41 and verse 42, Jesus, going back and forth with the Pharisees, He says this, "You do the deeds of your father." Then they said unto Him, "We're not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Now that's what the Pharisees thought. We have one Father, even God. And here's Jesus' response. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me." That's what He said. "For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me." The sad thing is, there are many in our society that say that God is their Father, and yet they do not know Jesus Christ. They do not love Jesus Christ. And Jesus made it very clear that if you were of the Father, if you knew the Father, then you would love me. So I guess when I ask you the question, do you know the Father? I could ask the question, do you love Jesus Christ? That's a good question, isn't it? Jesus said later on in John chapter 15 and verse 23, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." You see, you can't separate the two. Jesus told Philip in our text, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." If you say you know the Father, you'll love me, Jesus says. You hate me, you hate the Father. You hate the Father, you hate me. That's just how that works. And so, my dear friend, today you're lost, you're undone. If you're going to have a relationship with the Father in heaven, you must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. But then secondly, I would add into this that to know the Father better, we must then know Christ better. In other words, you say, I'm saved, I know Jesus Christ, and I was saved on this such and such a date, and God changed my life forever, and I'm not perfect, but I still try to live and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then now as a child of God, being adopted into the family of God, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and you know the Father, but how well do you know the Father? I mean, it makes a difference because even in this life, your dad might have stuck around and you might have had interaction with your father on a regular basis, but that doesn't mean you really knew him and you didn't have a good relationship with him. Sometimes people know where their father lives. They can take you right to the address, but they don't talk to him. They haven't talked to him in years. What kind of relationship is that? Well, it's a strained relationship. There's a relationship there, but it's strained. And so I submit unto you, dear Christian friend, if you want to know the Father better, and by the way, your earthly father, if he's you're privileged to have him still around, you ought to do all that you can to know him more and more. To have an intimate and continual relationship with him and with your mother as well, of course. They won't be here forever. But sad as it is, just as some people in this life cares nothing to see, and I've talked to people, they say, I don't care to see my dad, don't want to talk to him, don't care if I ever see him again. If that's true with you, my heart goes out to you, but you know, people do that toward God. They say they're saved, they say they have a home in heaven, but they have no interest in the Father. Now, that's a disconnect in my way of thinking. Jesus said, if you love me, you love my Father. I submit unto you to know the Father better, then you must know Christ better. The more you know about Jesus Christ, the more you can love Him. That's why you read your Bible. That's why you come to church. That's why you seek God's face in prayer. Because you know what? You want to learn more about Jesus. The more you know about Jesus, you know what will happen? You'll know more about the Father. You will. So love Jesus, and you'll love the Father. Develop that relationship. Listen to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Talking about fellowship among human beings, but then he says, hey, we have a fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. I look today, I see fathers and sons in here, and you have an opportunity to fellowship. You can leave this place and go call your dad. I can't do that anymore. I can't fellowship with my father anymore. My dad is with Jesus. But I'll tell you, from a spiritual perspective, I need to fellowship with my Heavenly Father. And I need to fellowship with my brother, Jesus Christ. We have fellowship one with another and fellowship with God. That's what the Scripture says. So I submit unto you, number one, let us learn about Jesus. Number two, let us love the Lord Jesus. And number three, let us live for Jesus. As I do that toward Jesus Christ, I do that toward my Heavenly Father. Do you know the Father today? Yes, you're saved. Then how much do you know Him? Will you invest in that relationship? I think John chapter 14, verse 6 through verse 9 speaks of that relationship, and that elicits for us the principles of knowing the Father. I say unto you, you need to know the Father. If you're lost, I point you to Jesus the mighty to save, so that you can have an entrance into the presence of the Father in heaven. That you can know Jesus and know the Father. Oh, that you might be saved today. But also, as Christians, you've already been saved. You have that relationship. Will you invest in that relationship? Long for the Father. Be in the presence of the Father. Speak to the Father. We need to know the Father. How to know the Father? Let me summarize it this way. One, establishing a relationship. And that's only going to be through Jesus Christ. Dear sinner, you must have a relationship with Christ. Then you can have a relationship with God in heaven. Number two, exercising the relationship. Establish a relationship, exercise a relationship. That is, take an interest in that relationship. Yeah, I do have a Father. I do want to know. I do want to see. I do want to be with them. So have an interest. But then finally, that extra step, exalting the relationship. And by that I mean invest in it. Invest in a relationship. I wish I had spent more time when my dad was alive making an effort to get to see him, to talk to him. Did what I could, lived many miles away. But I'll tell you, I can't do that anymore. But I encourage you, if you know God in heaven, invest in that relationship. Be as close to your Heavenly Father as you can be. I close with the words of Dr. Morris once again, where he says, and I remind you, may God help those of us who are or will someday become fathers on earth to truly be the children of our Father in heaven and thereby be genuine models of the Heavenly Father to our human children here on earth. To truly be children of our Father in heaven. Do not adopt the idea, well, we have the fatherhood of God. God's a Heavenly Father and I'm His created being. And that's good enough. That is not good enough. You want to know your Father in heaven from a spiritual perspective, and that's to know Jesus Christ. Sinner, would you be saved? Would you trust Him today? Do you know the Father? That's the question. And Christian, how well do you know Him? Let's stand. Father in heaven, we thank You for the day and the privilege of sharing Your Word. I pray that You just speak it to every heart. We pray especially for the lost, that You would save them, convict them, draw them, grant eternal life to them, bring repentance and faith to them today. And may we who are saved love You more and serve You better. And Lord, thank You so much for what You've done. Thank You for Jesus. Cause us to love Him more and to serve Him better. And as we do, we will do that to You. Lord, draw us to You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Numbers 190. 190.